Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
We're going to continue. I told you what we're going to be doing this month at the beginning of the month, that I'm going to have two Sundays to speak. Last week, Pastor Yemi was around. How many of you enjoyed that? I mean, were you? It was life transforming. Amen. Very powerful. And next week, Sunday, we're going to have Pastor Tim and Pastor Shola. They will be here also to minister to us in the before and after I do program. Amen. It starts on Friday and it goes up until Sunday. So I'm going to use my last remaining slot for this month to continue what I started last week. The title was He Who Is Spiritual. Everybody say, He Who Is Spiritual. So let's go to the text, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 from verse 1. Galatians 6 from verse 1. He who is spiritual. He who is spiritual. Or those who are spiritual. So, it says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Can I have it in a more recent translation? Brethren, I don't want the message. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. By the way, you see the bent thing? It's even more bent. It will be fixed today. Amen. It will never be like this again. Yeah. If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be what? May be tempted. Verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So today the title of my message is the law of Christ. Everybody say the law of Christ. Say after me, say the law of Christ. Now in the Old Testament there were some laws that God gave. We know some of them. They were categorized under 10 subheadings, which we call the 10 commandments. Ever say 10 commandments? So you know the 10 commandments. You were taught as a child. You will honor the Lord. You will not make any graven image. You should respect the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You know, and so on. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's property. And all that. So we know them. We cram them. Those were laws that God gave them in the Old Testament. I mean, there were several of them, but the Ten Commandments was the highlight of those laws in the Old Testament. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came, according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, Jesus Christ came and introduced a law, which we call the law of Christ. It's just one law. Everybody say just one law. Just one law. The law of Christ. The law of Christ. It was just one law. I love Jesus Christ. He came and simplified everything. Not that all those laws in the Old Testament are no longer valid. No, but what Jesus Christ came to introduce to us was, I will call it a summary, a simplified version of the Old Testament. And the way it works now is not the way it used to work in the Old Testament. It works differently now in the New Testament. Amen. It works differently now in the New Testament. And I'm going to be talking about it. But I want you to understand that there's a law of Christ. Everybody say the law of Christ. There's a law of Christ. So let's go to Romans chapter 13 and let's see what this law of Christ is about. Romans chapter 13. We're going to start reading from verse 7. Romans 13 from verse 7. The Bible says that give everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. Amen. Somebody say amen. So if you owe it, pay it. Amen. If revenue, then what? Revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. So these are some things that we hold. Amen. Verse 8. But it now goes on. It says, let no debt remain outstanding. Let no debt remain outstanding. This, I mean, has applications in every area. Has application in finances. Let no debt remain outstanding. In other words, let no debt just be there. Always be. It doesn't mean that you've paid it all off. God wants you to pay it all off. But make sure that you are acting towards it. It's not just something that is there. Just outstanding. There's no action being taken towards it. So even with just $10 you can do, $20 you can do, whatever. Just make sure you are doing something. That will be obeying God's word. And doing otherwise would be disobedience to God's word. And it always costs, of course, when we disobey God's word, there's always some problems that comes later. Let no debt remain outstanding. Now, the only one that is supposed to remain outstanding, the only debt that is supposed to remain outstanding that you will never be able to pay off. Amen. Somebody say, the only debt I will never be able to pay off is the continuing debt to love one another. The continuing debt to love one another. So there is a debt that you are going to have for the rest of your life. You can never be released from it. Or an obligation that we will never be released from is the obligation to love one another. Amen. So I want you guys to get it, because as we begin to talk about love and something is about love today, you see that it's quite a debt. Amen. It's quite a debt. And sometimes you want to be relieved from it. Like, this is just too much. You know, or I've done it now, I want to stop. You know, but the Bible says that it is a continuing debt. For he who loves a fellow man or fellow woman has fulfilled the law. What law are we talking about? Everybody shouted out, what law are we talking about? The law of Christ. Anyone who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The law. And now begins to talk about the Old Testament law. Verse 9. It was talking about the Old Testament law. He said the commandments that we talked about in the Old Testament. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. So it was a summary. They are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as what? As yourself. Someone say, as myself. You know what? Love, I mean, I'm going ahead of myself, but I would just like to say, we begin to walk in God's love when we start to, whenever we think of our neighbors, we think, first of all, of ourselves and say, if I were my neighbor and I were in this situation, how will I treat me? Do you get it? How will I treat me? If I was in the same situation as my neighbor, or how will I treat me if I want to do something to my neighbor? How will I treat me? How will I treat me? How will I handle me if it was me? That's one of the first rules. Write it down, everybody. Write it down. You know, that was, if you want to learn, want to start learning to walk in love, one of the first things you must always do whenever you're about to take any action is to first of all put yourself in the shoes of the other person. And that's where Galatians 6 started at. If you see somebody that fell into something, it's first of all consider yourself first. Just think of yourself. You understand? Just think of yourself first of all and say, you know what? If I was in the same situation as this person was, would I have performed better? If you were raised up, the person was raised up. If you experienced what the person experienced, when they, you know, will you have performed better? And then the other question is, am I even performing better? In other words, you consider yourself, and then when you consider yourself, you treat people based on that consideration. Hallelujah. love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. In other words, when we're operating by the law of Christ, we cannot do any harm. We will not do any harm to our neighbors. Love does no harm to its neighbor because it is the fulfillment of the law. Or it does no ill. Go back. Does no ill to its neighbor because it is the fulfillment of the law. So when you're talking about love, walking in love, which my last message, I talked about the fact that that is what true spirituality is. Someone say true spirituality is walking in love. That's what true spirituality is. There's a natural man who does not have any revelation of God. There's the carnal man who is still being ruled by their feelings, by their responses, they're still being ruled by their impulses, their natural impulses. Somebody presses me, then I reply. I interpret things. I do all kinds of things. But there's a spiritual man who, despite his impulses, fleshly impulses, tells him or her, oh, this is it. But the person rules that fleshly impulses and allows something else inside of him or her to overcome whatever, in a sense, the flesh wants the person to do. That is what true spirituality is. Amen. Say after me, say true spirituality is being able to overcome the impulses of my flesh by the impulses of my spirit. Did you get that? Because you have two sets of impulses. You have the impulses of your spirit that has been created in the image of God. Then you have the impulses of your flesh that has been trained in this world's way. Your mind, your will, your emotions, and your body combined together. That has been trained in this world's way. True spirituality, carnality is when you allow that to rule you, the flesh to rule you. But spirituality is when you allow the love of God that is in your heart to rule you in everything you do. So despite the fact that you want to be moved in that direction, you are tempted to go in that direction. Like I told you the last time, the temptation is not sin. The temptation is not sin. It's not, you've not fallen when you are facing temptations. When you have feelings and impulses to do things that are wrong, you have not failed. You are just human. Amen. Clap for yourself. Amen. It means you are alive. Pinch yourself. Do you get what I'm saying? It means you are alive. The fact that you felt like slapping somebody that offended you means you are alive. Amen. The fact that you felt, you know, like abusing someone else and all that, it means that you are alive, that you still have the flesh. But whether you act on it now determines whether you are alive spiritually. You know, so whether you are mine, let me not say alive, whether you are matured spiritually. Do you get it? When you decide to act on it, you know, determines whether you are matured spiritually. And we're talking about maturity spiritually this month. Hallelujah. Especially in the area of love and relationship. Praise God. Love does not do any harm to his neighbor. So anytime you want to do something, the next question you need to ask, I told you the first one. The first one, you put yourself in the place of your neighbor. The second one is this. Will this harm my neighbor in any way? Will this harm the person emotionally? Will this harm the person in any way? In any way. Then I don't do it. Amen. Because I am what? A love person. As I'm going to be showing you. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Love does no harm to his neighbor. For example, we've been involved in a conflict with one of the, one of the contractors that worked on this building, the electrician. I mean, it's very obvious from the, the contract, the whatever, everything, that this person is trying to cheat us. You know, he's trying to cheat us, definitely. He's trying to collect more money because, you know, he couldn't complete, you know, all the other work that was supposed to get him more money and all that. So he's trying to use the lower level one, you know, to cheat us. Okay. Now, every time I get into that conflict, of course, there's tough love that stands on principles. So walking in love does not mean that you violate your principles. One of the principles of God is justice. I'm going to say justice. You must never, you know, You must never violate that. Because when you violate justice, what happens is that you allow the person to be able to perpetrate it to other people. You understand? Because it's not a principle of the kingdom. So if you do it, if the person does it and is successful with one, the person has the tendency to continue it and do it to other people. Like Martin Luther King said, injustice against one is injustice to what? To all. So one of those principles is justice. A just balance, you know, is what God likes. He doesn't like unjust balance. So I will stand for justice. Amen. Praise God. So basically, my stance will be, let's get what is fair. So what is fair? What is just? What is the right thing to do in this? Okay, so let's do the count. Let's do all that. Let's forget all the emotions. Let's be just concerning this. But there are some steps that I'm tempted to do. You know, there are some things that I'm tempted to do more. I have there's the Yelp profile of this person. There's all the profiles online. Amen. That I could just, sometimes I just say, you know, let me just go and write one letter or get some people to just write a bunch of letters. Amen. And I just do it. Just spoil his reputation online and say, never ever hire this guy, because in the end, this is what this person is going to do to you and all that and everything. But some, you know, anytime I want to get there, the Spirit of God will tell me, love does not do what? In other words, this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to act. I want you, I don't want you to act in any way to do harm. But you respond to what the person does. Just respond justly to whatever the person does. And so that's the method we've been using. Amen. Because love never fails. And then, of course, just doing that over time, we've got it to a point right now where they are the one on the defensive. They are now trying to reach out to us to try and what? Negotiate and ask us what we want to do. Love, someone say, love never fails. Love does not do what? Any harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. When you talk, when you think about your neighbor, or when you talk about your neighbor, you're walking in love. When you put yourself in the place of that neighbor and you refuse to do things that in any way will bring the neighbor down. Everybody say this after me. Say, I will never contribute to the failure of another person. You see, there are some people based on their lifestyle. Do you get it? Based on what they are doing and the principles that they are operating with, they are going to fail. Do you get it? It's obvious. They are breaking some laws. They are going to fail. But you should not contribute to the failure. You should never contribute to anybody's failure. Let the system, the law of compensation and all that, judge it. Amen. Judge things. God watches over it. But don't put your own contribution. Because if you contribute to somebody's failure, you are sowing a bad seed. You rather contribute to people's successes. Everybody say, I contribute to the successes of people. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So if you want to walk in the law of Christ, then you must learn to walk in love in every situation. And I'm not talking about perfection. We're going to fail. Amen. But even when you fail, just know the principle and continue. Stand by what God's word says. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to quickly talk about some truth about love. Quick one. I'm going to go through it. I want you all to pay attention. Some truth about love. Number one. Some truth about love. Love is God. And there's a place I'm going. Therefore, it is the most powerful thing in the world. Love is what? God. Therefore, it is what? The most powerful thing in the world. The most powerful thing in the world is not the atomic bomb. The most powerful thing in the world is not one powerful person. The most powerful thing in the world is love. Because love is the expression of God. And I have seen it. Some situations that you are applying prayer to, like we're praying, oh God, change it. If you will apply love to it, you will see some of them change faster. When you get to a point where you don't know what to do any longer, it seems as if you're about to lose. It looks as if things are not going the way you want them to go. You switch on love, and you will see how things turn around. Love never fails. It's the most powerful force in the world. There's no situation, no relational situation that love cannot solve. When people are operating in the love of Christ, there will always be victory in relational issues. If both people choose to walk in God's love, there will always be victory in every relational issues. If God's love is allowed. Allowing love to flow from you is like injecting God into the situation. There have been some situations that have, happened to me, relationally, either in ministry or other ways, that could have gone otherwise. But just because of this lesson, that if you inject love, you inject God. If you inject love, everybody tell me, if you inject love, you inject God. Those situations have been turned around. There are people that could have been foes and enemies that just by injecting love, they became the closest and the best helpers or companions just because love is injected. Love is very powerful. He said, now abideth faith, hope, and love. But of all this, the greatest of this is what? It's love. There's no situation. Love can change. If you have a child that is going wayward, there are some things that can't change that child. You can shout on the child, you can do everything, but that's not what. Only love has the power to change people. If your wife or your husband is going the wrong way, love, if you inject love into the situation, it might look as if you are losing at the beginning, but love will never fail. Love will always turn the situation around if you walk in love. Because love is God. And whoever walks in love, walks in God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, quickly. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John 4, verse 8. 1 John chapter 4, and verse 8. It says, whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is what? God is love. God is love. God is love. God is love. Number two. God's love is in you. Everybody touch your belly and say after me, say, God's love is in me. Now. Now, listen. There are different kinds of love. You know it. In the Bible alone, there are four Greek words translated love. And you see different kinds. There's eros, which is sexual love. There's storge, which is just friendship, family love. There's filio. There's all those kind of love. But there's a kind of love. In fact, this word agape, this agape love, it was a word that, the word that existed in the Greek, but they never really used it a lot until Jesus Christ came. Jesus began to use that word a lot when he was talking, Sermon on the Mountain and all that. In other words, he popularized that word. The word is agape, or agape as we call it. Because people didn't use it because it was a love that was designed, it was a love that was the God, the love of the gods. Amen. It was a love that was beyond the standards of other kinds of love. You know, when Eros is in operation, you see a beautiful woman or a handsome guy, and then you get a feeling and all that. There's a give and take and whatever there, so you get something from it. Isn't that true? So you get something from it. When you talk about family love and all that, there's that kind of connection, mothers for children and all that, friendship love. But there was a kind of love. The kind of love that we're talking about is a kind of love that when you show it to someone, you don't get anything from it. Someone say you don't get anything from it. Is that not tough? That's not the kind of song that you sing about in all these pop songs, you know. I love you because of the way you do me, you know. This is not the way you do me. You understand? This is just love because of love. So it's a different kind of love. Let me tell you, everybody look at me. This is a difficult kind of love. This is an impossible kind of love. It's a kind of love that humans cannot display on their own. You can't live that kind of love on your own. It's not possible. We will always fail. So that's why God did not leave us to do it on our own. What he did, Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed or has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. So God knew that there was no way we'll be able to walk in that kind of love. There's no way humans were able to do it. It's a demanding love. It's a difficult kind of love. There's no way we could have been able to do that. So what did God do? God himself came to live inside of us in the person of his Holy Spirit so that he can love through us. Do you get that? So when you're talking about agape love, we're not talking about you. We're not talking about you loving by yourself. We're talking about you allowing God to love through you. Everybody say, allow God to love through me. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about you allowing God to love through you, not you trying to do it by yourself. Touch your belly and say, the Holy Spirit, who is love, now lives in my spirit. And now I have the capacity and I have the ability to be able to love like God loves. Tell your neighbor, you are God made, so you are love made. You are God inhabited, so you are love inhabited. You are made of love substance. Say, I'm a love being. I'm a love creature. My first response is love. My nature is love. Despite the way my flesh speaks, I'm a love person. You know, if a woman came, you know, and said, you know what, I hate my mother-in-law. And I tell you, I mean, in-laws, people find it tough to love them, amen? Say, I hate my mother-in-law. I was saying it. And the preacher was preaching that, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, was preaching that, whoever does not love his brother is a murderer. Whoever does not love does not have God in him. And the person said, what? But I hate my mother-in-law. Does it mean that I'm a murderer? Does it mean that I'm not born again and all that? So after the meeting, the preacher said, come. Say, I hate my mother-in-law. You say it. Just keep saying, say, I hate my mother-in-law. Say, I hate my mother-in-law. Then he said, what do you feel inside you as you say it? The woman said, as I'm saying it, I feel something inside my heart, like something telling me, no, this is not right. Yes, yeah, so that's the love of God inside of you telling you it's not right. Your flesh says, I hate my mother-in-law, but there's a love of God that is shed abroad in you that is in there that cannot hate. Someone said, the God inside of me cannot hate. So even though your flesh says, I hate that person, or I hate my mother-in-law, I hate my father-in-law, or I hate that guy, I hate the person that jilted me and that did that to me or that cheated me, even though your flesh is saying that, there is something shed abroad in your heart that loves. Because you are a lover. Tell him, say, I'm a lover. If you are a believer, you are what? You are a lover. And you don't just love with any kind of love. You love with the God kind of love. So it's in your heart. Let it out. Please tell your neighbor, say, it's in your heart. Learn to let it out. Number three, definition. This is so powerful. Love. Now, what I'm trying to show is that love is a willful thing. Someone says it's a willful thing. This love we're talking about is not something that you do because you feel. It's a willful thing. Love is the steady direction of the will towards the lasting good of another person. Love is the steady direction of the will towards the lasting good of another person. It's not a steady direction of the will towards the lasting good of another person. In other words, this love we're talking about, you just set your will. I'm going to love you. It's not based on what you do to me. It's not, you can do whatever you want to do. But I've decided what I'm going to do towards you. I'm just going to love you. I'm just going to love you. It doesn't matter whether you respond. It doesn't matter whether you criticize me. It doesn't matter whether you think I'm stupid. It doesn't matter whether you think I'm foolish. It doesn't matter whether you are taking advantage of me. My will is just steady towards you. I'm just going to love. That's what agape love is. It's a steady direction of someone's, of your will, to the good of another person, irrespective of how they act. You will discover that if you talk with God, if you go and meet God and pray and say, God, can you see how so and so person is acting towards me? You will never hear the voice of God. He won't talk to you. God will never talk to you about how another person is acting towards you. The only conversation he's going to have with you is how you are acting towards the person. God is not interested in it. He will talk with them about how they are acting. So you leave them. How are you acting towards the other person? That's what God is going to talk to you about. Hallelujah. Are you following me? It's not a feeling. It has nothing to do with how they act or react or how you feel. It is a product of your spirit, not a product of your emotions. It is a commanded love. It is not something inspired. Agape is not inspired love. In other words, it's not inspired by what somebody does. Eros can be inspired. Agape is commanded. Husband, love your wife. It's not like try to. It's not like maybe you can. It's not like love them if they, you know, deserve it, or love them if they. No. Just love your wife. It is commandment. And then wives, love your husband. It's a commanded kind of love. It's an act of the will. It's something you just say, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. I do it to him. That's what agape love is. It's not feelings. It's commanded love. Next, love is the answer in every situation. Love is the answer in every situation. When you don't know what to do, ask yourself, what will love do? When you don't know what to do, ask yourself, what will love do? Then you know what God will do. Love is the answer in every situation. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, it is the most excellent way. Love is what? 1 Corinthians 12:31, it said, I show you a more excellent way. Love is the more excellent way. I will show you the more excellent way. He said, desire the greater gift. So there is gift. I told you, gift is not spirituality. Working in the gift is great, but the gift must be directed for love. But gift is not the thing. It's not the top. It is what? What is the, I mean, the love. Love is the most excellent way. Is the more excellent way. Is the more matured way. That's what he's saying. Love is the correct way. Love is the way to go. I don't know what to do. Walk in love. Oh, this is too much for me. Walk in love. Walk in what? Walk in love. That's the way every time. But that's what I did the last time. She did that. That's what I did the last time. He did that. Yeah, that's what you do now too. It's the only way. Amen. You must never get out of the way of love. Is the way of victory. Is the way you win. If I don't know anything to do again in this world, I will just find people to love. That's all. People come, what is my purpose? What is my dream? What is that? No, we do spend time to spend purpose. Yeah, guys, find somebody to love with what you've been given. You will find your purpose. Just whatever you've been given, begin to divert it into somebody's life. Not thinking of yourself, but just thinking of them and their good. You will find your purpose. Because that's your purpose. You are here to express God's love. Just start doing that. Love is the way. You should never be confused. Oh, my boss is doing this to me. What should I do? Walk in love with your neighbor. My husband is doing this to me. What should I do? Walk in love with your husband. My wife is doing this to me. What should I do? Walk in love with your wife. My children are behaving this way. Walk in love with your children. Oh, my leaders are behaving this way. Walk in love with your leaders. My followers are behaving this way. Walk in love with your followers. How do I spend my money? Yeah, find a way to love God and to love other people with your money. What should my business focus on? Find a way to love people with your business, and you will become profitable. Love is the way. Everybody say love is the way. It's the most excellent way. Let me round up. Hallelujah. Write this down too. Love is sacrificial. Love is what? It's sacrificial. It is sacrificial. Why is love sacrificial? Because it puts the other person first at the expense of yourself. Of yourself. Love puts the other person first at the expense of yourself. Love sometimes makes you look foolish and weak. But when you are weak, that's when God is strongest. When you are very strong, many times that's when God is not operating. But when you are weakest, when it looks like you are weak and you are stupid and you are, what do you call it? You are, you know, they have different names they call people like that, right? They are lily livered. You know, we can't even, why are you allowing that? People will come say, why are you allowing that? Tell her to her face. Tell him to his face. I mean, give him a piece of your heart. Give him part of his own medicine. Have you heard all those statements before? Give him some of his own medicine. The worst thing that can happen for you is to have people that counsel you to walk out of love, because you will complicate the miracle God is about to do when you walk out of love. But if you stay in love, a miracle is going to happen eventually. You will always come out winning. You will always come out winning if you walk in love. Love is sacrificial. Jesus said it this way. In John chapter 15, he said, verse 12. John chapter 15 and verse 12. John 15, verse 12. He said, John 15, 12. Not Joshua. John chapter 15 and verse 12. My command is this. Everyone say command. How many of you know what command is? It's a military term. Yes, sir. That's all. That's all you say to command. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. How have you loved us? The next one. It says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. In other words, love requires some sacrifice. You are going to have to lay down things. It's going to involve a sacrifice of time, the sacrifice of effort, the sacrifice of feelings, the sacrifice of your own gratification, the sacrifice sometimes of your own good lookingness, if there's any word like that. You look like you don't look good. You look like you lose for a season sometimes when you're walking in love. Jesus Christ went to the cross for the people that were spitting on him, those who crucified him. And he looked like they lost. And he said, Father, forgive them, but they don't know what they do. Love requires sacrifice. If you are not willing to sacrifice for other people, then the love of God in you needs to be developed. It's in there, but it needs to be developed. Love involves sacrifices. It involves laying things down. It involves letting go of your ego. Love asks people, how can I help you? How can I be of assistance to you? Love doesn't look at what it can get from people. Love looks at what it can give to people and leaves the getting to God. can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I stand with you? It's sacrificial. He takes of his own resources and puts it down for another, sometimes for others who will never appreciate it. Or people who will even spit at you when you do it. Yeah, that's what love does. That's what it does. Love takes insults and let it go. Love forbears. Love doesn't have to fight. Love lets love fight. Because God is love. When Jesus said, when people slap you, turn you, or whatever, he's not saying that you should become, you know, everybody's beating you. No, he's saying that let God, love, fight for you. Love lets love fight. Love doesn't have to argue to win in every case. It lets love win. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him water. Therefore, in doing so, you heap coals of fire upon his head. For vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. God is going to repay. The equation of life will always balance. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. Whatever you put in, you are going to get. It's going to meet you somewhere in the future. But you don't contribute to it for anyone. You make sure you sow the right seeds. I'm just going to read it. Love prefers others. Romans 12:10 says, preferring one another in honor. Preferring one another in honor. Romans 12:10, preferring one another. What does it mean to prefer one another? Love doesn't take the highest place of honor by itself and put other people down. Love lifts up other people. Honor one another above yourselves. Love doesn't say, oh yeah, I'm now the... No. Love focuses. Now, love doesn't pull itself down. So this is not preferring other people. Oh, I'm just bad. No. Love says, love lifts up the other person and says, you know what? You are the best at this, man. I think you are good than this. I mean, you are better than me at this. Man, you are just... Love feels the other person. Says that. That's who you are. If we do that in marriage, if we do that in relationships, those relationships will be stronger. If you are not thinking of what you can get, you are not thinking of the honor you deserve, but you focus on the honor of the other person. You start to lift the person up. I think you are better than me. I think you are great. I think this. So love compliments. Love does not flatter, but love compliments. Sincerely, love tells people. It doesn't mean that you don't see weaknesses of people, but love does not focus on the weaknesses of people. Love focuses on the strengths of people and closes its eyes to the weaknesses of people. Because if you focus on their strength, very soon, if they find somebody who believes in their strength, that strength will overwhelm their weaknesses. But if you focus on the weakness of your wife, or you focus on the weakness of your husband, or the weakness of your friends, or the weakness of anybody, or if you focus on the weakness, it becomes bigger. And that's what is going to rule in that relationship. You focus on their strength. You tell her, I see this and I see that. But not on weaknesses. Love lifts other people up. Love doesn't pull anybody down. Love thinks of, what can I do better? What can I do to serve? What can I do to help? What can I do to lift somebody up today? That's what love does. Love prefers. Love endures. Everybody say love endures. Say love endures. Because, you know, many times you hear a teaching on love, or God speaks to you about love, and you think, yeah, you feel set up to do it. But these things, I know it's not something you do once. Romans 13 verse 1, talking about love, this is not something you do just once. This is something you persist at, because you're going to have to endure. It doesn't change instantly. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Love endures. It sticks to it. He stays there. He continues to practice this thing, empowered by God. 1 Corinthians 13, starting from verse 1, please. If any of I speak with the tongues of men and tongues of angels, and I do not have love, I am but a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. In other words, gift, faith makes you nothing if it is not being expressed towards love. If I give all I possess to the poor, even philanthropy, if you do it, you do philanthropy because it increases your profile or other things, but it is not done with a purpose, with expressing the love of God, it is nothing. You gain nothing. It is nothing. But what is love? Verse 4. Love is patient. Everybody say love is patient. Please, can you give me the amplified version? I'm going to run through it. Love is patient. Or love endures long, according to the amplified version. Love endures long. It is patient and it is kind. It is patient and it is kind. Amplified version, please. Love endures long. Everybody repeat after me. Say love endures long. Everybody say long. In other words, if you've gone through some situations in your relationship, right? It's been a temporary. I know it's lasted for some days, lasted for some months, but that's not long enough. Amen. It's not long enough for you to quit. Amen. Put some effort into it. Love endures long and is patient and kind. And when it is being patient and kind and enduring, it's not rude. It's still kind. It's still kind. Love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. Verse 5. It's not conceited. It's not arrogant and inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on his own right or on his own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy. It is not fretful. It is not resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it. It pays no attention. This word is one of the most powerful words in scripture for me. It's one of the most powerful things that God revealed in my heart. Love pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice. So it seems to get justice. And unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevails. Love bears up under everything and anything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Not the worst. When you meet people, or when people tell you something, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Ah, they might be deceiving. No, that's not. You know, say, if you don't think that way, you're going to be God. No, but when you're walking in God's love, when people talk to you, you're first of all a believer. You give people the benefit of the doubt until they prove otherwise. Do you get it? You don't start by doubting and say, now prove yourself. No. You give them the benefit of the doubt until they prove themselves otherwise. That's the beginning. So when something comes to you, the first thing is not to doubt it. The first thing is to say, okay, I believe the best concerning this. And then let the people prove otherwise. In other words, trust until it is violated. Not wait until they build up trust. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the difference between the kingdom of God. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakening. Love, God's love in us, does not fail. It never becomes obsolete or come to an end. Everything will pass away and all that, but God's love is going to continue. It's going to remain when everything is done. I'm glad I have that love inside of me. That's 1 Corinthians 13. If you want to develop spirituality, if you want to be truly spiritual, if you want to become he that is spiritual, take 1 Corinthians 13 and silently, daily, read it to yourself and put your name there. Put your name there. And this, where it says love, replace love with your name and keep saying it to yourself. Keep saying it to yourself. Keep saying it to yourself. You are renewing your mind. After a while, you'll find it easier. You'll find yourself responding like that to every situation. And when you get to the point where you respond like that, you have allowed the love of God from you to begin to overwhelm. You start living in the realm of the miraculous. You start living in the realm of God. Because now you are not operating by your flesh anymore. You are not in. You are now in with spiritual. We have the capability to love because God's love is inside our heart. God is now living inside of us. So let Him flow. Apply it in every one of your relationships. Husbands and wives, apply it in your relationships. What will love do? What will love do? What will love do? Love covers a multitude of sins. What will love do? Love stands by. Love looks at people, not from the standpoint of your own strength, but from the standpoint of your own weaknesses. And say, if I were in their situation, will I have done better? If I was born the way they were born, if I had the same background that they had, will I do better? If I had the same pressure that they went through, will I have done better? That's how God's love works. Why don't you lift your hands, everyone, right now? I don't know what God is saying to you, but I think this is a good point. Rise up on your feet. It's a good point for us to yield ourselves to the love that is already inside our hearts. To make a decision to let Him love through us. Listen, there should be no relationship issues. Now there will be issues and all that, but what I'm saying is there should be no unresolved relationships within you. Now, for the other person, it's a different case, but within you, there should not be any. Because you already have the standard. You already have the step. You already have the action. The action is the love. People are going to hurt you. And people have hurt you. People are going to disappoint. People are going to do all kinds of things. People are going to talk about you and you're not going to like it. People are going to misunderstand you, misrepresent you. But all that does not matter, even though they are painful. What matters is what you do. Resolve today to walk in love. Resolve today to be an expression of God's love to everybody that you meet. Starting from the household of faith and starting from the house. Resolve to love your children, to love your friends, to love everyone. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Lift your hands and pray right now. Just tell the Holy Spirit to help you to inject the love of God into the situations you face as a person, as a family. Come on, lift your voices and pray and just ask Him. Don't ask for God to give you love because He's already given it to you. Just ask Him to cause you to abound in that love, to cause that love to flow from within you. When love is at work, people don't take themselves to court. When love is at work, people don't go to the divorce court. When love is at work, people don't stop talking to one another. People don't keep malice. When love is at work, people interpret what people say and what people do positively until it is proven otherwise. Prefer one another when love is at work. Lift your hands with me and say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your love that is shed abroad in my heart. And thank you because the greatest power in the universe has been deposited in my heart. And I have the switch to turn it on. That is my will. Today, I choose to turn on the love of God into every situation, and into the particular situation that I face right now in my relationship. I will turn it on towards the unlovable, towards those who are friends, those who are harder to love. I will turn it on towards my husband, my wife, my parents, my fiancée, my friends, my leaders, my followers, my fellow church members of the body of Christ, other churches, other pastors, other leaders, I choose to turn on the love of God that is shed abroad in my heart. In the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me. Thank you for helping me to go through the excellent way all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Why don't you give God some praise?
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.